broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2025. This is hour one of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, through so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution unless it's a Jesus revolution, and then we're in because we follow the Prince of Peace. Welcome to the broadcast. We do have Pete Stanton with us, Scoop Stanton. And he'll be talking to us from CPAC Live. But before we get to that, I just have a couple of quick tidbits that I want to bring up. News items that are of great import, if you will. Number one, I told you we follow the Prince of Peace, so that means we follow a great series like The Chosen. The Chosen, ladies and gentlemen, Season 5 hits theaters on March 28th. And I guess it will later be available on Prime Video in June. That's The Chosen, Season 5. Very riveting series about the Savior Jesus Christ. Very well done. One of the first crowdsourced or crowdfunded media projects on the market. Pay it forward is the idea. Go to the movie, buy, you know, put a little bit of the a bucks in, buy a ticket for somebody else. Pay it forward. Make sure nobody who wants to see this misses it. Anyway, great stuff. Just thought would bring that to your attention. Also, quick update, Bannon now talking to the press about the supposed Nazi salute. Bannon says it was a wave, not a Nazi salute. I told you that from the start, ladies and gentlemen. It's like Elon Musk's wave. These people just want to absolutely lie and muddy the waters with everything they do. It is out of control. So we're defending Steve Bannon here and saying, hey, you know what? You can't just determine every move somebody makes is a Nazi salute because you hate them, because you don't believe in. Okay, it's got to stop. But that's why the truth is on Liberty Roundtable Live. Musk made a surprise appearance. We talked about this with Pete a little bit yesterday, but some more details are coming out. I guess Musk made a surprise appearance at CPAC wielding the chainsaw. That part we knew from yesterday, but I guess it was gifted to him by Argentinian President Javier Milei to symbolize the dismantling of bureaucracy. And so the Argentine president did this in his early rallies and stuff like that. Then he gifted the chainsaw to Elon Musk. And so Elon brings it up on the CPAC stage. The liberal media losing their minds over this one. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do. You know, it sounds morbid on one hand. On the other hand, it's kind of funny. You just think, my goodness, can Americans laugh at anything? We're just laughing, saying, hey, we've got to stop this. And when you discover all this corruption, you just want to cry. But when Elon Musk comes out with a chainsaw, you kind of go, okay. Anyway, I think it's a great symbolic reality check. What we need to do is have somebody put together a meme with Elon Musk and his chainsaw and Donald Trump with his fight, fight, fight salute after the assassination attempt. Put those two together and say, we're taking care of business, right? Anyway, I digress. Let's get straight to the next last piece before our guest. Enrique Tarrio, the former leader of the Proud Boys, who was pardoned by President Donald Trump in the J6 scenario, has now been arrested at the U.S. Capitol. This is a disgrace story, ladies and gentlemen. Look, Enrique was peacefully there trying to bring attention to what went wrong on January the 6th and tell the other side of the story. He was at the Capitol. And I guess some protester got in his face, put her hand and her cell phone in his face. He swatted the cell phone away, and boom, the government surrounded him and hauled him off to jail. Never mind the lady that provoked the cause. She was dropping F-bombs left and right. There's a video out about it. You can see what's going on. I'm telling you right now, this is a sham. This is an absolute setup. It's completely, entirely bogus. But that's what you get. And so, you know, even with President Trump in charge and Elon Musk with a chainsaw and everything else. You know, hey, you've still got these whacked out lib government, you know, extremists that are literally, I mean, why would he, for swatting this lady's hand and phone out of his face, why would he be the one? She's the one that started the provocation in the first place. So, you know, you got to really wonder about that. Anyway, Scoop Stanton, 75 Radio. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam, and good morning, Liberty Roundtable family.
What do you think? They already arrested Enrique. What the heck's going on?
It's a setup. This human garbage that's floating around in this country went up to Tarrio, got in his face, waved, dropping F bombs like you said before, but the harasser that went up to Tarrio is guilty of harassment and or disorderly conduct, and Tarrio is acting in self defense. Plain and simple. No reason why. But again, I think the U.S. Capitol Police, they got egg on their face, so they saw this opportunity to bring him back to jail. And I'm sure the last thing Enrique Tarrio wants to do is go back to jail.
Well, and who wouldn't by nature just reach up your hand and kind of swat that away like, stop? That doesn't mean that you're going out of control, violent, or anything else. I mean, this lady was certainly the aggressor. She started it. She's dropping F-bombs. She's in your face. And the hatred in which she spews her venom is pretty telling as well. This was intentionally done, and hopefully, we can find a way for President Trump or somebody to get kind of truth to power on this. I'm going to get a hold of my friend Stuart Rhodes and get more of the details, because this is insanity, ladies and gentlemen. All right, do you want to do the honors and introduce our guest, Scoop?
Okay, I'm here at Radio Row at CPAC for the very first time, sitting in a booth. But I do have the lovely Martha Byrne with us. She is an actress, a former actress, but she is happily married to a retired member of the service, i.e. the New York City Police Department. Her husband was just absolutely railroaded, a victim of lawfare, and she has a hell of a story to tell. But
Not only lawfare, but somehow you got to wonder if the United States is partnering with the CCP on this. We'll get to that in a minute. Martha, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you so much for having me. It seems like you've got a bit of a handle on this case already before I even talk about it.
Well, we'll dig in. We always try to do our research because we don't want to be caught flat-footed not knowing what we're talking about. We don't do that on this radio program. However, we do know a little bit about you, too. You've been an actress since you've been a little kid, huh?
I was. I started in Annie on Broadway. I went to an open audition and sang a few tunes, and I was 9, actually, when I auditioned, and then got on Broadway, and that's how my career started. And then I kind of did a lot of independent movies. I worked with Dick Van Dyke. I played his daughter. I was a child actor, and then I got on the soap opera As the World Turns when I was 15 in 1985, and was there for 20 years, and won a bunch of Emmys, and had a great career there, and then kind of went behind the scenes after that and started writing for shows and producing television shows, and raised 3 beautiful children, I have to say. They're wonderful, and married to an NYPD hero.
An NYPD retired hero that went private investigator, we'll add. You guys have been married for 31 years, right?
Yes. Is that amazing?
Congratulations.
Mean, thank you. Thank you. It's easy when you're married to someone like my husband, Michael McMahon. You know, I got a good one. I lucked out. I'm the one who won the prize, for sure.
Tell me about his career a little bit. He worked for the NYPD, and then he eventually retired and then became a private investigator, right?
Yeah. So when he was on the NYPD, he garnered 78 medals, 1,000 arrests. He earned the Combat Cross that was presented to him by Rudy Giuliani for a gang-related shooting in the Bronx. He was a school safety sergeant in charge of 40 public and private schools in the Bronx. He was a very prolific. He loved the job. He was on street crime. He was one of the chosen members for the street crime unit under Rudy Giuliani as well. And for people that don't know what that is, it was like the most, you know, whenever there was a crime pattern in any part of New York, they would put in the street crime guys to fix it. And they were plain clothes, you know, undercover guys.
Sam, real quick, street crime unit were the cops that other cops called to take care of business. When I was on the street, I met people from street crime. These people were just a different breed. It's like some guy just got out of a basic training meeting, a guy just got back from Vietnam with as a member of Delta Force. That was NYPD street crime unit.
Yeah, they were busy, and he was always, and he loved it. Like, he loved being a part of that. And then he was involved in a police chase where he was a guy who had beaten up his girlfriend, 19 prior felonies, ran Mike off the road and hit a telephone pole 50 miles an hour, broke part of his neck, his hip. He was disabled, and sadly for him, had to retire. He did not want to retire at all. Like, he was devastated. So when he retired, he was young and still loved the job. So I suggest
it's kind of like an athlete's career cut short, right?
Yes, because that brain and that will and that heroism, you know, the street suffered because of the loss of Michael McMahon. You know, the people of New York lost when he was left the streets. So he became a PI and became one of the most successful PIs in the tri-state area. He worked for the Archdiocese. He's worked for billionaires. He's done federal cases. And in 2016... his business was doing really well, but it was like he did it for really enjoyed doing it because we didn't, you know, again, I had been an actress my entire life. You know, financially, we were fine. So this was not a financial, you know, need necessarily, but he loved doing it. So it was kind of a part time.
Yeah,
did
there,
a
are
lot
things,
of pro bono.
There are things where people have callings, right?
Exactly. And that's, you know, it's a calling. And he did tons of pro bono work. And in 2016, he got a routine call from a translation company in Queens, New York, hired two NYPD retired guys who were then did PIs as well, did some background checks, some surveillance, notified the local police every day they were doing surveillance. He actually spoke to two federal agents who he knew, that one guy he actually just met at the gym. He was talking about this case with him. And the man he was targeted to investigate was... he was a fugitive from China, but that's not why he was called. He was called because they wanted to find the money. He had been accused of stealing millions of dollars from a construction company in China, and Mike's client just wanted to know how many houses does he have, how, you know, a day in the life kind of thing. Does he? And he did. He did have. There's millions of dollars worth of real estate, and you know, he definitely, there was a pattern there, and then did his reports, and didn't think about it, and then 4 years later. On October 28, 2020, they came to my house before dawn, the FBI, and arrested him. Now, my husband says, I've done thousands of arrests, and this was not normal. They were pleasant. The FBI was pleasant. They were conversational. They did not take my husband's guns. They didn't take his computers. They didn't take his nothing. Didn't take his phone. Didn't go to his office.
They didn't handcuff him or anything, right?
Nope. Didn't handcuff him. Nope. And he said it was the most bizarre thing in the world. And when he went to be interrogated, you know, he's law enforcement, so he freely spoke because he wanted to know what was going on. Obviously, like, he got into that mode in his head, like, what is this about? And one of the investigators that was there was former NYPD, so he felt very comfortable speaking. And he learns that the people that hired him were somehow involved with the Chinese government. He had no that. The guy was a Chinese police officer, I guess, but he didn't, you know, it was, again, so, it was 4 years later, they're showing him texts from his phone, and he's trying to figure out what was going on. So he's learning in real time when he's speaking to the agent what happened, and he says at the end to him, he goes, was I duped by these people? And they kind of nodded like, oh, wow, you know, it was a lot to take in for him. He comes home. Next thing you know, his picture's in the New York Post, my husband's picture's in the New York Post with the police commissioner from NYPD, Kelly, and it says he's China muscle. He's a heavy, and he was harassing people, and it was unbelievable. And the criminal complaint had all this information about all these other things that happened that he had nothing to do with, zero to do with, but they reeled him in, and when he wouldn't take a plea deal, they doubled down and did a superseding indictment on him for conspiracy. So he was charged with violating FARA, which is the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which is ridiculous, and interstate stalking. And the people never saw him that he was following. There was no police reports that they were being followed on record, nothing. And we went to trial, and the alleged victims couldn't even identify him in court. And he was found guilty. He was found guilty of violating FARA and interstate stalking and conspiracy to commit interstate stalking. Now, for those people listening, when you go into a federal case and you're naive about the truth being all that matters, throw that out the window. Because not only did they lie on the criminal complaint, the FBI, the case agent in this case didn't testify at trial. No one testified against my husband at trial. Not one person. They made up a story. They falsified evidence at trial on day one. My mouth dropped the way that they were handling this case. I was outraged. We were not allowed to talk about my husband's career at trial, his heroism, all his medals, not allowed to talk about that. We were not allowed to talk about a civil lawsuit against the subject he was following. We're not allowed to talk about that. We were not allowed to talk about the China Initiative, banned from talking about the China Initiative, which was a government program. We weren't even allowed to talk about that at trial. Every single person in this case, every single one, lied except my husband. And that's really hard to take as an American, to believe that this justice system I cannot believe what they got away with. I mean, you know, we would read the complaint and go, what are they talking about? That they said Mike witnessed a meeting between this Chinese man and this Chinese man's father who flew in from China and was forced to come here. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He had detailed reports, surveillance reports that never saw these people. Well, and the government knew that he was never there because they had the cell phone data. They knew he had never witnessed, but they put that in the criminal complaint.
Hold on, when you say the cell phone data, you mean tracking of where the cell phone was?
Correct. So he was not near where this alleged meeting went.
I understand. And now, by the way, just a side note, ladies and gentlemen, in 2000 Mules, that data is used to track voters stuffing ballot boxes, and they all claim that that's not reliable technology. However, in this case, they use that same technology and know for a fact that it's true that, hey, Michael wasn't there, and they're using that same technology, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to make that tie because people don't really understand that. And every time they talk about this, they just betray the truth because they don't know better, right?
And they use it to their, when it's in their favor, you know, that they'll use it. But here in this case, you know, every day we would go home, we're like, we're going to win this. Because the facts were so obvious that they were making this stuff up and, you know, it was not, you know, we had evidence that he was innocent. We had overwhelming evidence that he was innocent.
Yeah, but not in the new world of lawfare, Martha. No, sir.
No, but they underestimated the fact that, you know, we were going to fight back. And they couldn't find one thing my husband has ever done in his life that was wrong. They went through our banking records, our emails, our pictures. We were followed. We were surveilled. They could not find anything my husband has done in his entire NYPD career. They couldn't find anything. And they were desperate to make him look like a horrible person. And to sit there every day and listen to this prosecutor trash him to the jury, I wanted to throw up. I mean, I really was so angry. I was out of my mind angry. And you're just helpless. You know, I felt helpless. And when he was found guilty, I can't describe that to you, what that feels like. It is, not only is he not guilty, he's a hero. Like, this is a man, after he was arrested, now he doesn't have his guns, right? He stopped a robbery of an elderly woman at the bank. He also stopped an assault in Grand Central Station after he was arrested. He turned around and went back to help these people. He didn't have to do that. You know, he didn't have to go with everything that's going on, but he's instinctually a good human being and a hero. And what they've done to him is outrageous. I'm praying that President Trump and Pam Bondi and Cash Patel will look into this case and declassify it, first of all, to show all the lies, and the American public have a right to know what they did to our family. Because you know what? If they did it to us, they did it to other people, and those poor people don't have a platform like I do. They don't have the opportunity to have a support system like we do. And they're never heard. So I plan on, after this is over, helping more people. The Pipe Hitter Foundation, Eddie Gallagher's foundation.
All right, we're putting together all kinds of prison reform stuff. I'm working with Stuart Rhodes and others on that very project right now.
Awesome.
We'll keep you in the loop for that, by the way. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a former police officer for NYPD, a sergeant, turned private investigator after being disabled on the job, by the way, Michael McMahon, who was convicted, ladies and gentlemen, of spying for the CCP or China. He says he feels, quote, betrayed by the DOJ. Now, remember, this is who's DOJ then? Nothing happened from 2016 to 2020 when Trump had control of the White House. But the second Joe, Clown Joe, got in, oh, man, it ran off the rails, and now they're coming after Michael. That's interesting and telling, to say the least, Martha.
I think, well, he was investigated under Trump's administration, and a lot of people say, well, what about, you know, it was under Trump's administration. Do you know that Kash Patel was spied on under the Trump administration?
Oh,
Carter
yes.
Page, you know,
oh, yeah.
This was, you're going to tell me.
But what I'm saying
anybody...
is the action and the pursuit of this, though, really started to kind of happen under Biden, right?
Well, I think what happened when this was a China issue, okay? And it
yes.
happened a week before the election, he was arrested. And I believe very, very strongly that this was sending a message to China before the election. People were trying to save their jobs. Christopher Wray was trying to save his job. Mike Pompeo, Richard Donahue in the Eastern District of New York. You know, there was a lot of people that were trying to keep their jobs. And China was something that Trump was really adamant about. Like, we're not doing enough against China. So I believe this was done as kind of a signal, you know, a message. And I will tell you right now, I know President Trump is a supporter of the blue. He backs the blue. If he heard from any of his people that my husband was involved in this, he would have said, absolutely not. There's no way that man, by the way, I sat on the advisory board for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital with Eric Trump. I don't know Eric. I've met him a couple times, but I'm also going to tell you this. If they knew it was me and it was my husband, there's no way Trump would have let anything happen to him. So whatever he was told, if he was briefed, by whom, who knows? If they're lying in criminal complaints, if they're lying in search warrants, what else are they lying about? What did they tell the grand jury to indict him? If they're lying in public, what are they doing behind closed doors? What are they telling the president? What are they telling Christopher? Who? Because what happened was, as I've been fighting back against this, the GOP Oversight Committee did a report on the CCP. And they gave all the agencies grades, basically. And the DOJ got a failing grade because of my husband's case. And they noted it in the report that he never, these are my words, that basically saying he never should have been prosecuted under FARA. It is not a FARA case. It's outrageous. And I'm thrilled that happened. I saw James Comer here, and I got to, he's the head of that. And I got to thank him in person for doing that. And that hopefully that will help get this case overturned and thrown out because of that kind of report. So what I'm saying is that, remember, in Trump's first administration, a lot of people were doing dirty things behind his back, and he knows who betrayed him, and he knows, and that is the end of that. You won't have that in this administration. So, you know, the DOJ under William Barr, who knows what position he held in this case. You know, I do know a lot more. I've written a book, and it's coming out in about a few months, detailing of the case, this our journey, our struggles, our fights, the things I've found about China.
Okay, I want you to take down my information, Martha, and as soon as the book comes out, we'll have you back on and cover that.
Sounds
okay?
Great. Yes, we'll talk about it. There's a lot in there for us to talk about, that's for sure.
All right, so you don't know what some of these people's roles were because, hey, we can't get the evidence that we need even with subpoenas and, you know, all that?
No, but I know who's involved. I mean, I know who's responsible. And I've seen the case agent, you know, again, comes to the trial every single day and sat there, and he doesn't take the stand in his own case. Have you ever heard in your life where a case agent who worked on a Fox Hunt case, the first of its kind ever, a huge case that was all over the media, he can't take the stand and explain his case to the jury?
What about facing your accusers and cross-examinations and such?
Well, he would never be able to stand it, you know, and he couldn't.
I understand. The point is that the judge thinks he is the law. He doesn't think he has to follow the law, and he orchestrated it such to where, hey, none of those things had to happen. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Martha Byrne, and she's talking about her husband's story. They literally said, hey, he was convicted of spying for China. But ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk a little bit more about Operation Fox Hunt. We've talked about this on the broadcast over the years. We'll talk more about it with Martha and our dear buddy Scoop Stanton live from CPAC on your radio.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Former Senator Jim Talent says Europe could easily mount its own defense against Vladimir Putin.
Five or six brigades, including several hundred tanks, in a base in Eastern Europe with the supporting infrastructure and with the air power, so you're talking 25 to 30,000 men, would deter Putin from any kind of a direct attack.
And Senator Talent spoke this week with the Salem Radio Network. The Hamas terrorist group has released the sixth and final of the hostages scheduled to be released today as part of the ongoing ceasefire agreement with Israel. Many observers fear that the ceasefire may not last for long, with Hamas breaking the very terms of it, even as they release the hostages little by little. Senator James Lankford says one of the biggest areas of government waste is largely being overlooked.
In the federal government, the payment system, we know of $100 billion just in Medicare, Medicaid, in improper payments that we don't have any connection to at all. So that one program, there's improper payments of $100 billion and no one's chasing it.
And Lankford says unused office space is another area, one of the biggest of government waste nobody may be looking at.
We've now got 17 agencies in the federal government that they're using 25% or less of their floor space, of actually their office space. So that means we're paying for 75% of empty buildings, empty desks, phone lines, everything else that's set up for there.
Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma spoke with the Salem Radio Network this week about wasteful spending, and he says some of it was originally approved by Congress, and for that reason will need to be eliminated by Congress as well, even though some of that spending was put into place by executive order and could be reversed by President Trump himself. You'll find more on these stories at townhall.com.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and it varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
Auto repair bills are through the roof. $3,000 to replace the transmission, $4,000 for a blown engine. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all out of pocket. You need an Endurance Auto Protection Plan. No matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done at the certified mechanic of your choice, and they're paid directly with no middleman. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, lockout services, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Act now and get our elite benefits, including complete tire care and key fob replacement, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you could never pay for covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote.
Call 800-498-2843. 800-498-2843. 800-498-2843.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
In the spirit of 1776, here's your chance to own a piece of history and show your commitment to liberty and justice. Introducing the beautiful, high-quality leather wallet, crafted with precision and pride, featuring the official Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association bronze badge on the inside. This isn't just a wallet. It's a bold statement of your values. Made with premium leather, it's built to last, just like the principles of our founding fathers. Don't wait. This is a limited edition. Once they're gone, they're gone. For $760, you can carry the spirit of 1776 with you wherever you go. Visit CSPOA.org to secure yours today. True patriots, don't wait. Get your CSPOA leather wallet now and join the movement to honor our Constitution and protect our freedoms. The badge and wallet for the CSPOA is a symbol of membership and should be used to indicate that affiliation rather than for any official or professional purposes.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam in studio. Scoop Stanton live from CPAC. Radio75.org doing a phenomenal job. Our guest right now, Martha Byrne, well-known actress, As the World Turns, and more, wife of private investigator Michael McMahon. He was convicted of spying for the communist government. He feels betrayed by the DOJ. McMahon was basically also convicted of acting as a, quote, unregistered foreign agent, which is absolutely absurd. Have you, ladies and gentlemen, heard of Operation Fox Hunt? That's a worldwide attempt to coerce Chinese nationals living abroad to come home to the motherland. They use stalking, they use threats, harassment. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Michael pled not guilty. He said he was unaware of the scheme. So this Operation Fox Hunt is a serious thing. Folks, they have police offices all over the world. How this happens in the United States, I don't know, but they have police offices in the United States where they literally coordinate this. Well, the communist Chinese government will reach out and grab you anywhere in the world you are if they deem necessary. How the United States gets caught up in this and ends up in the side of the CCP, the Justice Department in bed with the CCP over this, is a real question. Martha, let's start there.
No, you covered it pretty well. I will tell you this, that in 2016, when my husband was approached about this case, you know, this job to do some surveillance background checks, again, very routine. He made a few thousand dollars on this case, by the way. When the FBI, when he became on their radar in 2000, right after that, like immediately, you know, they had the opportunity, the FBI had the opportunity and the DOJ to bring in three former NYPD detectives, two of them were former intelligence detectives, by the way, and two federal agents that my husband spoke to about this case to learn more, to get ahead of all the things that happened. But they did not speak to any of them for 4 years, but they spoke to the Chinese agents. The FBI spoke to the admitted Chinese agents, interviewed them, spoke to them, let them flee the country over the 4 years, but not the U.S. law enforcement. Now, that to me, you know, I don't want to hear now, oh, look at these police stations. If they had come to my husband in 2016 and learned about the patterns of what was going on, crimes would have been prevented, Chinese agents would have been caught, we would not be having this conversation today. And we would be in 2025? We'd be light years ahead of where we are. Now, this is important to you to understand. The man my husband was following was not a dissident. Not a dissident. He was had stolen money, allegedly, stolen millions and millions and millions of dollars, and he was sued successfully, civilly, in our country for that. And the DOJ put a pause on that case, that civil case in New Jersey, while we went to trial. And when a few weeks after the trial, when Mike was found guilty, that civil lawsuit just managed to disappear and was over. Gone. And there had been a $15 million judgment against that man, okay? This was not a dissident. And the fact that our government chose to not help, there's real victims in this country of these tactics, and people have not been arrested. I mean, other PIs have been involved in these cases who were not arrested. My husband was the only PI ever arrested for something like this. And they missed the opportunities, and I don't understand. And I met Richard Grenell here at CPAC a few years ago when this happened, and I spoke to him. He's a former director of national intelligence. And he said, your husband should have been given a defense briefing. was he? I said, no. You know, so that put a bug in his ear. I don't know if, you know, where that went after the fact, but my point is they picked the wrong side. They picked the enemy side, and they put my family in danger by doing that. This man that my husband met with, he was a Chinese police officer, and we found out at trial that 25 Chinese police officers came there under their own names and trained at the University of Houston, and we invited them there. It says it right in the visa on screen.
When you say we, you mean our government, right?
The United States of America, yes, invited them here to train in Houston, and they also trained in Connecticut, this guy. He had a 10-year visa given to him. And other Chinese police officers and other Chinese government officials that were involved, there was right there on the screen in the courtroom. And I'm thinking, so let me get this straight. We welcomed them here with open arms. They came here under their real names, their real titles. One of them said they were going to an electric battery company. They were invited by an electric battery company to come here. And now, 4 years later, you decide that that trip was now, not okay, and you're going to go after my husband for meeting with him at a Panera Bread and at a law firm in 2016? And now, none of this makes any sense. Why in the world would my husband betray his country for $5,000, first of all, a man who spent his entire life running into the burning buildings, not starting the fire, and now all of a sudden he's decided one day to wake up and work for the CCP for a couple
of
days?
And a man who's got a wife as an actress, so he doesn't even need to work.
No, and by the way, it was so outrageous when Breon Peace, who was the head of the EDNY, who just left, came out after the trial, said it's really disturbing that an NYPD sergeant would do this for money. I was like, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. We did not need, he didn't do this for money because they had no other motive. They had no motive. There was no motive that they could use except for money in the press.
Let me ask you about the jury, though. Did they not get the right instructions? And how do they come back with a conviction like this when this is so obvious? I mean, I'm looking at this. I'm not even in the courts, but I'm kind of going, wait a minute. What about all this other evidence? What about, the lack of ability to bring the details forth on your side for the defense? What about? Aren't the jurors asking those questions, or are they just lackeys for the... what's going on?
Well, let me tell you something. Jurors would often sleep. They were falling asleep. Many of them slept for one time at half an hour. One of the jurors pulled their hoodie down and was sleeping. Mike was put on trial with two co-defendants, and I feel like they had to bring the two other co-defendants to have a case, like even have a trial. And I feel, why did it happen? When you suppress evidence and you falsify evidence, basically people will believe what you say. And the jury instructions are so leaning towards the prosecution.
In other words, the judge believes he is the law, not that he has to obey the law. And whatever he says goes, which is absolutely a blight on the jury system in this country. It's got to stop. Judges that believe that need to be prosecuted.
You heard that too with Trump.
But isn't that what they do? The jury in Trump's case, for example, the judge said you don't even have to convict on the same ideas. If there's 40 charges here, hey, one guy can say he's guilty of these two and somebody else is these two, and they don't even have to be the same charges. See, that's blatantly a violation of due process.
Exactly. And so when I was watching Trump's trial, I'm like, this is exactly what happened to us, to my husband. When you can't put, witnesses and, they're witnesses that they couldn't find one private investigator. They couldn't find one private investigator in this country to testify that my husband did anything wrong. Okay? The expert that was supposed to come said, I'm not coming. Because he looked at the case and said, no, I can't. If I go in the stand and say he did something wrong, then every other private investigator in the country is going out of business, an $8 billion business. Parking on a public street is not a crime. It's not a crime. It's insane. I'm sorry. I've never heard of an interstate stalking case where there was no evidence, not a police report, not a restraining order, not a photograph, nothing. It's really So what happened was, when my husband was done with his work on the case in April 2017, almost 2 years later, somebody put a threatening note on the door of the guy. My husband was charged with that. Can you imagine? Almost 2 years later,
did we have handwriting experts or something like that? You know,
they had a video of the two Chinese men came to the door, put it on the door, and they got the address from a gang member in California who was also not charged. That the translation company in Queens that hired him, she was not charged. And we found out that my husband was actually recommended for this case by a U.S. attorney that he had worked for, a former U.S. attorney, a lawyer. So the government knew that he had nothing to do with any nefarious business that the Chinese were up to. That was a totally separate lane. All the people asked him to do was find the money, find what is going on with this guy. They never asked him to do anything illegal. He never would do anything illegal. They didn't imply to do anything illegal. But whatever they were up to on their own separately had nothing to do with him. Absolutely nothing.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Do you think that the administration or somebody or people or whoever at the Justice Department are compromised by the Communist Chinese Party to where they were forced to go along?
Here's my 2 cents on that. I think they were trying on their own to understand these patterns, and they didn't want the help of a former NYPD sergeant and two NYPD guys, because the way that they handled this operation, this Fox operation, they had sting operations going on in California. You know, there was a lot of things that my husband probably would never go along with, I would just say. You know, that's not the way his tactics would be. Maybe I'm wrong. But they didn't know enough. And we had, I don't know if you know Colonel John Mills. He's retired. He's been spoken at CPAC many times. He has come out publicly and said that he was working under Obama and under Trump for the Chinese intelligence. He said there's no way Michael McMahon or anybody knew what was going on that level in 2016. Okay, so now you have someone who worked under the administrations, both of them, saying there's no way that we didn't even know the tactics of what was going on at that time. But what a missed opportunity for the New York FBI, the New Jersey Newark FBI, to not bring in my husband, who worked on other federal cases, had an extensive career, successful career as a detective and also as a private investigator, worked for the Vatican. He's done cases, big, big cases. To not bring him in was a huge mistake on the part of the FBI. And it's another failed operation, okay? And we, by not doing that, it put not just my family at risk, it put the entire country at risk. You know, you have Chinese agents running around New Jersey. I went to the local police where this case came out of, two towns. They had no idea that it was going on. No one from the FBI ever told them. They were never debriefed on any of this. And they looked at me like I had four heads. They couldn't believe it. And here I am, a civilian, going into the local police to tell them what was going on. Now, this was after my husband's arrest, okay? This was 2016. So how can they look themselves in the mirror after 9/11, not sharing intel with local, not even local, just even within their own agencies? My husband knew federal agents. He knows them. They didn't know anything about this. So they weren't sharing intel within their own agencies. They weren't sharing it with private investigators. Could you imagine if they had told private investigators in 16, hey, everybody, if somebody approaches you, let us know, and let's work together and actually learn about their tactics.
Well, and so that really brings up this question. Set aside your husband's situation for a second and talk about Operation Fox Hunt.
Yes.
This is a communist Chinese CCP reach out around the world and grab anybody they want to, judge, right, jury, and executioner on the spot. And the United States is, in a sense, backing that agenda over your husband, right?
Let me tell you something. You want to really blow your mind? In January of 2024, the head of Fox Hunt from China made himself a diplomat and came to the United States, and Anthony Blinken had dinner with him. And he was at the UN. I lost my mind. And the New York Post did an article about that. Isabel Vincent, excellent writer, excellent investigative reporter. And I'm quoted in there saying he should have been locked up on the tarmac the second he landed. And I said, how can he not be arrested? If fox hunt is such a terrible thing, and it was such an awful thing going on in the country, why is Antony Blinken having dinner with the head of fox hunt in D.C.?
And the only answer I have is because somehow the administration is over a barrel and compromised by the communists, and they have to, or the repercussions will be too great for the American people to handle.
Well, guess what? You know what? I have one life on this planet. My husband's a hero. He would have helped prevent these crimes. And listen, they didn't have to bring him in for that, but they could have at least told the two federal agents that were connected to this case to, like, you know, guys, there's something really strange going on here. We don't really know, you know. And then none of that happened. You know, and if you have someone who's, I mean, I tell you, these are two federal agents that my husband spoke to about this case. These were not guys that, these were like high level guys who were doing some pretty intense cases within the New York offices. And they should have been told. They should have been spoken to. And we failed. We failed. And in the CCP oversight report, the DEA was the only one who actually got a good grade. Everybody else was failing on the CCP across all the agencies here in this country. And we're going to fix it. I mean, that is one.
Well, we've got to fix it. And hopefully we can have your husband work with Kash Patel. By
Definitely.
The way, I publicly, in writing, endorsed Kash Patel before he got approved by the Senate, or advice and consent by the
Amazing.
Senate.
Amazing.
And so we're hoping Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, and your husband, Michael McMahon, can really dig into this. Because, folks, look, Michael's convicted. That needs to be overturned, and he needs to be, pardoned or whatever by President Trump over this thing. But we then need to really dig into this Operation Fox Hunt and really kind of ask ourselves, hey, are we going to allow the communist Chinese to really just come into our country, violate all laws, all due process, all protections, all checks and balances, and just literally grab people off the streets? Because at first it might be Chinese who they would claim dissidents or criminals or whatever they would claim, without evidence in most cases, even if there's some evidence. Hey, can you just drag them across the pond? Or what? Well, how long will it be until they don't like, say, a Sam Bushman, me, and they say, we believe that Sam has offended the communist Chinese. We're going to grab Sam off the streets now. When will that jump happen if we don't stop it now, Martha?
Well, we had a cooperation agreement with the CCP regarding criminals here. And a few weeks after Mike's was working on this case, I found a video that was in China where we were helping repatriate criminals from our country. We don't have an extradition treaty with them, but we had an agreement of law. I think if that was, I'm not sure the name of it, where we were working, I found a press release from the DOJ from 2015 where they were thanking the CCP for cooperation in a repatriation operation, meaning we were helping sending people back who were committing crimes if the evidence was there to repatriate somebody who had violated these laws in our country and theirs. And it was a selective process of who was going to go back. And the State Department, the DOJ, members of the DOJ would meet in China every year and discuss these people. And that should be done, correct? We don't want criminals from other countries coming here and feeling like they can hide in plain sight because we don't have an extradition treaty with a certain country. If you've committed crimes here in the United States of America, and we don't have an extradition treaty with that country from where you came, you still could be at least arrested and possibly sent back. And we did do that. We were doing that. And now I'm not sure where we stand with that after COVID and other things. But we need to do a better job. And to your point, this is a boots on the ground type of thing.
But when you circumvent normal extradition kind of treaties, agreements, and everything else, and have this whatever law term you're using, and then you say, hey, they can have police officers in America, Chinese police departments or whatever you want to call it, and let these people. Okay, I get the due process point you're making, and I get that we don't want criminals here point you're making, but what we've set up is this shadow government end run around normal processes.
Absolutely.
That don't afford those triggers and checks and balances that we're legitimately speaking of, right?
I agree with you, and I think the Chinese police station in New York City is a perfect example. Is that, could you imagine if they came to my husband in 2016 and they learned, and who he had met with was a Chinese police officer, his real name was, he gave Mike an alias, But they could have caught, they could have spoken to that person, and they could have debriefed that person to find out what he was doing here. He was all over the world, that guy, turned out. He was like the lead repatriation police officer for the MPS, who had traveled all over the world. Don't we want to talk to him? Don't you want to talk to my husband, who actually sat across from him and get information about what their tactics were? No, they didn't do that. So I don't want to hear this, oh, we found a police station in 2021. Really? Because guess what? It had been set up probably in 2015 and 16 when all these Chinese police officers were coming here like a revolving door, and we let them come here. Why
not only
did
we let them, come here, though, we aided and abetted them coming
correct.
Here.
Correct. We did. We really did. And I'm sorry that you guys made that mistake, but my family shouldn't have to pay for that. And you shouldn't have to railroad my husband to go to make it look like you're doing something about it. That's not okay. That's not okay. You know, it was an optics case. All they did, all the Chinese agents who were involved in this case, who were actually the ones who did the creating these operations, were allowed to flee. So what do? Who's left? My husband and a couple of Chinese guys who are like the errand boys, you know, on the bottom level. And, you know, I'm sorry, just because it gets press doesn't mean you did anything, because nothing changed. Is the world a safer place?
Well, even the conviction
place?
Doesn't mean that, too, when you go through trials and all kinds of due processors violated and everything else. So where's Michael now? What are the next steps? What can we do to help?
Well, thank you for having me on, first of all. It means the world when I have opportunity to tell his story, because he is so broken. I mean, what has been done to him is tragic. He's home, thank God. You know, we had to put up $500,000 bail, the most of anybody else in this case. And he's been home the whole time. We filed motions, post-trial motions, which were, of course, denied. To dismiss, and we are looking at sentencing at the end of March. We will appeal, of course, and we'll keep fighting. And I've reached out to the president. I've reached out to J.D. Vance. I've reached out to, I have submitted a letter, and I've spoken to anybody I can to, he needs to be completely exonerated. Of course we'll take a part, and of course we'll do anything to keep him home, but we have to fight what happened here and get him exonerated. He is a hero. If Daniel Penny, what the actions of Daniel Penny on that subway is were heroic. They were heroic. But if Daniel Penny is a hero, my husband is Superman. He saved thousands. It was in a shootout in Times Square on New Year's Eve. My husband was in a full-blown shootout with machine guns, and he saved thousands of lives that night. Okay? This is a hero. If we treat heroes like this, the men who are willing to go into those kind of situations, and you know the Bronx,
then
we won't
get heroes in the future because they won't be willing to come to the table, is the tragic reality of that.
Well, thank God, running out of time my son is a cop now, so that was the one thing. He did become a police officer in New Jersey.
he sat
in the trial and he said, you know what, Mom, I'm my dad's a hero. He did nothing wrong. We need more good guys on the street. I want to be like my father.
We're running out of time faster than I want to, Martha. Is there any way that we can help? Has Trump responded, or Vance, or Cash Patel, or anybody?
We're getting there. I keep not yet, but I'm still trying. And I have wonderful people. Congressman Michael Lawler has been behind us from the beginning. He's been wonderful. But Eddie Gallagher, the Pipe Hitter Foundation, if you go to the Pipe Hitter Foundation with an H, pipehitterfoundation.org, our story's on there if you want to read more about it and support us. You know, these trials cost millions and millions and millions of dollars if you want to fight the government. And they don't mind spending your dollars to go after us, but you have to fight it. And so we appreciate the support from Eddie and Andrea, from everybody who's been so wonderful to us. And pray for us. I mean, pray for my husband to see this resolved, and we can heal. You know, our family can heal, so we can help other people.
Well, tell Michael we're praying for him. Tell Michael we're using all that we can in the media to tell the tale of truth. Tell Michael we're working with Cash Patel and others for prison reform FBI reform, for that matter, Justice Department reform with Pam Bondi and others. We're grateful for your willingness to stand and not take this land down. Our prayers will be with you, and we'll do all we can to help. Please keep us posted on the cases that unfold, will you?
Will do. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Martha Byrne, ladies and gentlemen. In defense of her 31-year husband. Yeah. Michael McMahon, doing a great job defending America, getting barbecued by the Justice Department that's absolutely ran off the rails and partnering with the CCP. We got to bring truth to power and stop this criminal activity. Shut down all Chinese police departments across the country and then stand tall for due process and the sacred cause of liberty. For Scoop Stanton and Sam Bushman, thanks so much for being along. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up live from CPAC. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live and God Save the Republic.